Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. God's reuniting the ancient nation of Israel in her land. British Israelism is a cult that claims that though the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin returned to the land of Israel after the Babylonian captivity, the 10 northern tribes of Israel were lost, ending up in North America, so that Britain is the tribe of Ephraim, the United States is the tribe of Manasseh, and the throne of David is the British throne. All right? This cult has influenced Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Ezekiel 37, 15 to 28 is one passage in Scripture that corrects this error. So we're going to view it for our insight. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 37, 15 through 28. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them to one another in one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. And when the children of your people shall speak unto you, saying, What wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. And they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the Gentiles, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the Gentiles shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary, that's his temple, shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Okay, this is a tremendous section of Scripture. The Lord directed his prophet Ezekiel to take a stick and write on it, quote, for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him, end of quote, and then to take another stick and write on it, quote, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, end of quote, and all the house of Israel associated with him, end of quote. So the stick of Judah represented the southern kingdom of Judah, but included the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi. Most of the Levites went south. And the stick of Joseph that consisted of the two powerful tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember, the sons Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons that came from Joseph. So that's why they refer to both tribes of Joseph, along with the rest of the 10 northern tribes. Now some say these sticks represent the Bible, that's the stick of Judah, and the Book of Mormon, that's the stick of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. But this claim violates the context of Ezekiel 37, 15 to 28. There's nowhere that it's talking about the United States or the Mount Moriah or anything else that's in the Mormon faith. God then told Ezekiel to join these two sticks together in his hand that they might look like a single stick, presumably grasping them end to end in one hand to make them look like they were one longer stick. Let me use this as an illustration. I happen to have two pens here. And I grab one pen here near the top, the other pen here near the bottom. And so it looks like allegedly one longer pen, something like that. That's the object lesson. And you've got up here, you've got the name of Judah, and down here the name of Joseph and the people that are associated with it. And these sticks are sticking out. And the people look at this. And of course, the Jews are very, very strong on signs. What does the sign mean? And it would get their information, their attention. And then he would go ahead and then explain what this meant. So fellow Hebrews in Babylon would wonder what this illustration signified. So Ezekiel was to tell them that God was going to take the stick of Joseph and the fellow tribes of Israel with him and join them with the stick of Judah, making them one stick, and they would be one stick in God's hand. Ezekiel was then to explain that God would take the children of Israel from among the Gentiles where they had gone and gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. Verse 21. That tells us that the 10 northern tribes were to be gathered from wherever they had been scattered, and God will bring them back into their land. That counters British Israelism right on. I mean, it hits the ball out of the ballpark with that one. That's very, very, very clear. And what would happen is God would make of them one nation on the mountains of Israel in their land, one king being over them all. And they would no longer be divided into two kingdoms as they had been since the time of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. In his reign, that's when the kingdoms divided. The people of Israel would no longer defile themselves with idols. And that was the cause of the original division of the Davidic kingdom. In 1 Kings 11, 29 to 39, Solomon was even involved in child sacrifice. And that infuriated the Lord. So the Lord says, I'm going to, you know, not from you, because I'm out of respect for David, but in your son, I'm going to tear away 10 of the tribes from you and give them to another man. And God would save them from their backslidings, cleansing them so that they would be God's people and he would be their God. Furthermore, God's servant David, and I believe that this is actually David, it's not a figurative reference to Christ, this is David in the resurrection, would be king over this reunited kingdom of Israel, and there would be blessing and peace and righteousness forever in this arrangement. The picture, most scholars, Bible scholars, believe that Jesus will be king of the earth. He'll be, you know, the king over Israel, that's for sure. He'll be the main king, but he will also be the king of the world. David will be the prince under him, and David will have the rule over the nation Israel. So you're going to have Jesus Christ ruling and David working as a subject to Christ, but nevertheless being responsible for that area. The Lord would make a covenant of peace with the reunited kingdom, an everlasting one, and upon placing his people back in the land, God would multiply them and set his temple in their midst forever. The restoration of the United Kingdom would testify before the Gentile nations that Israel's God was the Lord who sanctified Israel, putting his sanctuary in her midst forever. Now, obviously, this hasn't been fulfilled in its complete form. They're going to have Israel back in the land without sin. And that's yet going to be fulfilled in the eternal state. Now, there are additional biblical passages that reveal the fallacy of British Israelism. And we view them as follows. I've added these because British Israelism is so influential. It's affected Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, and Jehovah's Witnesses that all are built around this idea. First of all, when the exiles had returned to Israel from Babylon, Ezra chapter 6, verse 17, and Ezra 8, verse 35, report that 12 sin offerings of male goats were made for the 12 tribes, requiring by means of Leviticus 4, 22 to 26, that all 12 tribes had to have returned. Now, there were different animals that were handled for different sin offerings. If there was a priest or a king that had sinned, you had to offer a bullock and so forth. If the congregation had sinned or a leader in the congregation had sinned, he had to give a male goat. And what happens is when a sin offering was offered, before the animal was slain, the person who was guilty of the sin had to lay his hands on the head of the animal and confess his sin. And then the animal was slain. And when the animal was slain, of course, then the expiation for that sin was occurred. Now, this was a man for each tribe. Apparently, this was the tribal leader who was laying his hands on the animal. And in a patristic culture, wherever the tribal leaders go, the whole tribe goes. So if you've got 12 tribal leaders with male goats offering up these goat offerings as sin offerings, then all 12 tribes are in the land. Okay? Luke chapter 2, verse 36. The elderly woman, Anna, who greeted Mary, Joseph, and the infant Jesus in the temple. She was from the tribe of Asher. And Asher is one of the 10 northern tribes. And she was back in the land, and she worshiped the Lord there. And that's an indication, another indication, that 10 tribes had returned. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, verse 7, told King Agrippa that, quote, our 12 tribes are earnestly worshiping. This is a present participle of latruo. Are currently worshiping in hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. So Israel's 10 northern tribes were not then lost, but they had returned to the land, and they were a functioning part of the nation Israel in the days of the Apostle Paul. So you have all 10 tribes. I mean, there's every evidence from Ezra with Leviticus 4. You've got Luke 2. You've got the book of Acts. They did return, all 10, 12 tribes, and along with the two southern tribes. So the lesson is God promised to gather his people of the 10 northern tribes and of the two southern tribes back to the land of Israel, uniting them into one kingdom under a resurrected King David, sanctifying and blessing them. So in application, may we rejoice in God's future program that will fulfill his kingdom promises to David. And then may we realize the error of British Israelism and its resulting errant offshoots and hold to a blessed future for the nation Israel.